This is Who's Talking on Fox Sports 910. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former Wahoo basketball standout Jim Hobbo Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes of UVA sports with all-star interviews and unique insight that only Frank and Hobbo can provide. Who's Talking is brought to you by Ortho Virginia, LeClaire Ryan Law, TGI Fridays, Town Bank of Richmond, TheSaver.com, Richmond Allergy and Asthma Specialists, Hildrup Moving and Storage, Kelleher Heating and Air, the Virginia Athletics Foundation, Lemaire Restaurant at the Jefferson Hotel, Holly Martin Partners, and West Hampton Cleaners, with special contributions from Sarge Reynolds and Buford Scott. Now, Who's Talking is on Fox Sports 910. Here's Frank and Hobbo.
Well, good evening, Wahoos and fellow ACC fans. Frank's here with Hobbo to my far right and sitting smack dab in the middle of it all.
Terry Gates.
None other than Mr. 6'8", tall glass of water himself from Kentucky.
Fine gentleman.
Would rather watch racehorses than, than sports.
He knows how to pronounce that town down there that's a member of the league now.
Louisville.
You know, I don't know how to say
Louisville.
That.
Louisville. All right.
Him as the Cardinals.
All right. Enough of that nonsense, Hobbo. Big day today in Charlottesville. Obviously, with the hiring of Brigham Young head coach extraordinary Bronco Mendenhall by UVA, and tip of the hat to Craig Littlepage and his staff and the search firm for obviously finding a wonderful match.
And I think that's a good point. You know, we've talked before about the key, in my view, of college coaches is being a fit for that institution. And I think once more, Craig and John Oliver and others, similar to what they did with Brian O'Connor and obviously Tony Bennett. But it sure looks like this guy is a match made in heaven for the University of Virginia. Class, integrity, has his system. He's been a head coach for 11 years, a lot of success. So they hit all the check marks, as Craig Littlepage said. So this sure looks like a home run from the standpoint of Virginia football. And I, for one, am excited to – who do we open with next year, Richmond? I haven't even looked at the schedule, but let's kick it off and play.
Well, you know, it's an exciting situation on a lot of levels. Number one, Mendenhall has only won 99 games in 11 years out there at Brigham Young, and when people wrote back a Bronco who and you know he's out there in Utah and how is this going to work, and you know I heard some of that over the weekend. I said, listen. Anybody that can win 99 games playing the type of competition that Brigham Young plays and recruit kids to a place like Brigham Young.
Where they clearly have standards. High standards and requirements that not even the university has to some degree. But, yeah, he's had a great tracker. And you could have asked the same questions about Tony Bennett when he was first hired out of Washington State. I'm sure people that were not familiar with basketball may not have been that familiar with Tony, although his dad had a long track record of coaching as well. But, no, I mean, if you can coach at Brigham Young, you can coach. And I thought some of his answers about recruits was also fascinating that, he hasn't recruited that much east of the Mississippi, but he has a type of kid that he's looking for, very similar to Coach Bennett. And I think all signs are really, really positive. He just, to me, is a class act.
Coaching is coaching.
That's right.
Whether it's west of the Mississippi or east of the Mississippi, right?
Yeah.
Well, he had a lot of good points during his presser today. I loved his individual remarks. He did not have any notes in front of him. He called his family up on the stage with him and Craig Littlepage, and he hugged his wife, Holly, and the three kids, who all have very interesting names.
Yeah, I saw that.
And, I love the kids were wearing V-Saber.
Yeah, we got
jerseys.
Them geared right away. That was good.
Got them geared up, and the kids were smiling and happy. And, you know, I think they embrace this challenge as much as Bronco does. I mean, I think they're excited about being in a new place, meet new people, go to new schools and find out what it's all about here in Central Virginia.
It's tough for kids, particularly the older one. I think he said he was 15 or 16. So
16.
That's a tough age to change schools. But I think that goes with the territory when you're the son of a college coach, or there are a lot of other jobs that also involve moving. But I think Charlottesville will adopt this family and those kids, and I think it'll be a great situation for all concerned.
You know, what more could he have done at Brigham Young, though? I mean, 99 wins is a lot in 11 years. The Power 5, he's not in that Power 5 conference. So how do you compete for a national champion? You know, how do you take that one level up? And it's probably hard to imagine where he was doing that.
Well, there's, to me, and that's a great point, I think Bronco Mendenhall recognized probably a couple years ago as the as this playoff was evolving and developing and now as a very real living, breathing thing, the last 5-6 weeks of the season, that's all anybody talks about.
Right.
You know, who were the top four teams? And he knew that Brigham Young probably couldn't get there. But I think having been to Scott Stadium and seeing 61,500 seats plus whatever else can get in there when the students really want to show up, going to the brand new George Welsh indoor practice facility, going to JPJ and the dining hall there, and witnessing the fact that the McHugh Center is old and dated. And
he made reference to facilities today.
Three times. And he said, you know, if we want to be competitive tangibly, we need a football dedicated building. And
hope my buddy Barry Parkhill still has some life in him. He's going to have to go out and raise some more money.
He's going to need 15, 20, 25 million or whatever.
So no retirement BP anytime soon. You still got a project ahead of you, buddy.
Well, he probably looks forward to that. But, you know, I loved some of these sayings. He said the value of education. You know, coaches or teachers. He mentioned George Welsh. Blending football with family and education was paramount to everything. And he said he loves a challenge. Well,
he's got one, but I mean, but there are a lot of opportunities there as well. I mean, listen, it's not like Virginia has never won in football.
Situation is much better now than it was when George Welsh arrived in Charlottesville, and they'd had one winning season in what, like 13 or 14? I mean, at this point,
George came in, there was questions as to whether Virginia could ever win in football, and he proved that was possible. So now you're just trying to build or rebuild on what has been done in the past and maybe go beyond that. I liked his line, initially it will be will over skill. I like that line. And then the ADE, accountability, discipline, and effort. So I think it's a terrific hire for the University of Virginia, and I'm excited. You know, and as Teresa Sullivan said, you always have to tip your hat to Mike London. He's a terrific guy. Did a lot for the football program, particularly did a lot for the young man that he coached. But I think there's certainly reason for hope and optimism. And I think the football program needed an injection of energy, which I think Bronco will bring.
Change.
Yeah.
Change.
Well, and he said change is good. Do you remember that? He looked at everyone, didn't look at the sky, didn't look at any sort of notes or anything. He just looked everybody across the room and he said, change is good.
Well, and it's good for him, too. And I think what maybe at BYU, he had reached the point where he felt like he did all that he could do there, you know, to consistently win 9 or 10 games, go to bowl games every year. But to go to that next level and maybe compete for a national championship, you know, it's really difficult for an independent unless you're Notre Dame. And even they didn't make the Final Four this year. So.
And let me tell you something flat out. I think Notre Dame, and I've been reading quite a bit across the landscape, and this is a slight shift. I don't think it'll be long for Notre Dame changes their tune and they want to be
full-fledged member.
Yes, with football, because I think they're going to realize that as good as they were this year, they are always going to be nibbling away, fighting to get that 10th, 11th win. And with that crazy schedule where they travel the entire country like they do, who says that's possible? I mean, I'm not sure many teams or any team could do that.
Well, but, one thing, it's easier for Notre Dame to schedule than probably anybody else. You know,
well, John Oliver didn't have any trouble scheduling heavy hitters, but you know, talk about 2016. You asked about the schedule. Virginia does open with University of Richmond in Charlottesville. Then Virginia travels to Oregon. Hello.
Cupcake City.
And then they travel to UConn up in East Hartford, Connecticut the week thereafter. And then Central Michigan, that date is to be determined. I don't see why, based upon what caliber of talent is coming back and how fired up Bronco Mendenhall is. Don't be surprised if he doesn't have his staff in place in less than 10 days. Don't be surprised if this guy doesn't set rigorous standards. I bet you these kids have never worked as hard in their lives.
As they're going to.
Yeah, he told them during Christmas break after the meeting today.
I think that came across today.
That they better start working.
Yeah.
And I love that. But Terry, I know you're aware of this whole thing. Give me your take, just having been coached by Terry Holland and following a high standard there. How would you relate Mendenhall's situation?
Well, first of all, I think you have to respect his coaching ability. Like 99 wins in 11 years, that's, you know, I can do that math pretty easily. So 9 wins a year, I think, you know, anyone in Charlottesville would have taken that in the last 4 or 5 years, you know. So I think the players, it's yes, they're going to be sad that Mike Lunn is no longer there. He was more than a coach to a lot of those players, but, you know, they never figured how to win. And sometimes winning is contagious. Sometimes you just step up. You've seen down the stretch these last 4 or 5 games, one or two plays makes all the difference in the world. You catch a ball in the end zone, a pass you have your hands on in the second quarter. The situation, the game situation changes.
Well,
and
so
they
much,
just never
and you know
got
this,
over the hump.
Because you played on a team for several years at Virginia that won a lot of games. And I think there's almost an expectation
sure.
of winning. You know, when you and the way you get there is to win a lot. But I mean, your ball club, it was almost probably a shock to your system when you lost a game.
Well, you know, we had that little reunion at the Historical Society back in October, and to the player that was there, that the one thing that we always said, and I think Jeff Lamp brought it up when they threw the ball up, we expected to win. Now, we weren't always better than the team we were playing when you had Carolina and teams like that, but we expected with good effort and some things going our way, we would win that basketball game. And I just don't think that football program had gotten to the point where, nah, you know, Tech expects to win when they step on the field because they have done it for 23 bowl games straight. I don't think the product that was out there.
I think this year was a classic example of that because I think
Virginia really had better talent.
They outplayed Tech.
They did.
Throughout the game, but found a way to lose.
200 yards more rushing on the ground, and it's mind-boggling to think that they didn't win the game. I think that that's going to change. I think if Virginia, in years going forward, outgains the opponent by 150 yards on the ground, I'd be shocked if they don't win that game.
And it goes back to what I just said. You know, the Broncos saying will versus skill. I think a part of that is just the mental attitude. And I know Terry can speak to basketball. I know basketball is a lot mental. It certainly has a physical part, but a lot of it is mental. And I'm sure football is the same way. You know, you just have to be strong mentally and have the right psychology going into the game and be ready to make big plays.
Well, you've got to have people have goals, people that want to be leading scorer in the league. You have to have a Lamp. You have a Ralph Sampson, people that they expect to win, but they also know they have to work for it because you're getting a lot of people's best shot. And, you know, you won in high school, you won at every level to this point in time. Now, I think what happens is when some of these kids now in basketball, a lot of AAU basketball, so they're happy that they got showcased. They scored 25 points a game. I'm not so sure they're worried about winning that tournament in Orlando, that tournament in Charlotte, that tournament in Atlanta, or you know at Boo Williams Complex. They're all about themselves and their personal goals. Or I can tell you, it meant everything for in that era. Where you, if it's even the summer, you play to win, so you stay on the court. It's just a different attitude.
But ACC football is not what it used to be, even within Virginia's division. 3 new coaches, Mark Rick at Miami, Justin, what's the Tech's last name?
Fuente at
Tech. Obviously, you still got David Cutliff at Duke. You got Larry Fiadora at North Carolina, and Carolina just had
and
a great year.
Speaking of North Carolina, just gave him a 7-year contract. Oh, my goodness. They are boneheads. I mean, I think Larry Fedora knows how to coach, and I think it's fantastic what they did this year. And tip of the hat because they did play a great game by coming back against Clemson, and they executed the onside kick, and 3 Tar Heels touched the ball. But let's face it, a 7-year contract in this day and age is dangerous.
Well, Virginia learned the hard way with a couple of coaches, Pete Gillen and a couple others, where they gave long-term deals to and then had to pay
a
lot of money.
Big mistake.
But there's that black cloud hanging over their head. You know, they haven't gotten their just due. So when that comes along, I think, you know, that was a huge season they had, especially when I watched that game down in, was it in Charlotte, where they lost against South Carolina. That was a terrible game.
Yeah.
Yeah, they, but you know,
neither team should have won that game.
They both threw the ball and kicked it all over the field, didn't they, Hubba?
But they put together an 11-game winning streak thereafter. So
yeah,
that's
nothing
not
too shabby about
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
But let's real quickly remind folks, next week we have a very interesting show. We're going to have Brad Barnes, Chris Wright of the Sabre, and head coach Tony Bennett from basketball, possibly Antonio Rice if we can get him on the phone. Later tonight on our show, joining Terry Gates, who's in studio with us tonight, we have Chris Horn of the Sabre. He's the recruiting analyst and has been a tremendous guest in the past 7 years, visiting with our show, keeping us updated. He's got some interesting things to talk about tonight in terms of the football recruiting, and there's only 27 names in that list, which is a pretty healthy list, and apparently they still have a couple more scholarships to give because four or five of these kids are early admits, so they will blend into the last class, whereas that opens up some spots for 2016. All right, we're going to head to break. Come back on the other side. We're going to do the LeClaire-Ryan play of the game and more with Terry Gates. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.
Right now at Friday.